CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betts with my colleague Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We turn to after the 20th Party Congress, in which Xi Jinping asserted his total control of the Chinese Communist Party. I'm told it is not an exaggeration to say not since Mao Zedong's early years has there been such domination of the Chinese Communist Party. Gregory, there were moments in the People's Republic of China's 20th Party Congress. It seemed like a Chinese opera. Everything was routine, very carefully scripted, symmetrical, displayed for the cameras until that final day when the cameras came in and revealed something that it's still not completely clear, but it's suggestive of disorder, in which Hu Jintao, the previous general secretary of the party until 2012, was either abused or treated poorly or denied. There are many verbs here. By order of Xi Jinping and his own bodyguard, his own lieutenants, who escorted, rushed the previous leader off stage. That suggests disorder. I don't know the scale of it, but what does this mean for the absolute control of Xi Jinping? Was it qualified immediately by this incident, or can he blow past it?
Well, no, this was a very deliberate thing. You mentioned that the whole party congress was organized like a Peking opera, which in fact it was, and this is the standard pattern. And the toppling, if you like, of Hu Jintao was very much part of that orchestration. It was a dramatic moment in the Peking opera. Hu Jintao clearly left unaware that he was about to be frog marched out. Because he was, I think, on the verge of discovering anyway that his family had been excluded from promotion within the party, his son in particular. And subsequently, as our colleague Gordon Chang has mentioned on a couple of occasions, it looks like Hu Jintao's entire family have now been rounded up and put into isolation. So we don't know what's going to happen to them. We didn't see Jiang Zemin, the other great rival, at the conference at all. He didn't even appear. Now, he's 96, so it may be that he was too infirm to appear, but it may also be that he was quietly eliminated or is back in his bunker now. But what we did get with this party congress was the ending of a major phase of Xi's new civil war within the party. The next phase will be the absolute crackdown on all of those opponents within the Hu Jintao group and the Jiang Zemin group and anything that remotely looks like opposition in the lead up to the party congress. Literally right up to and into the congress, people were being arrested from the security services, people who may have owed their allegiances to promotions given during the Hu Jintao period, for example. So we're now going to see the bloodbath. We are now going to see the suppression of the population in its true naked Maoist form, because we have to bear in mind that the Chinese economy being in free fall is not only not a problem for Xi Jinping, it's possibly a goal. He wants to reassert control over the entire population, and he cannot do this while there are tens of millions of Chinese people who have tasted freedom and money and now have had both removed from them. So he has to suppress them, and the tool of suppression is the zero COVID campaign, because it looks as though it's being done for your own good sort of thing, but it's in fact leading to hundreds of thousands of deaths already in the past 6 months, 9 months or so, both in Xi'an and Shanghai and the like. So basically he has to remove any hope from the population, that hope that their money can buy them any kind of voice or control or freedom of movement. He's taking away passports and the like. So we're going to see the PRC removing itself from the trading zone. There's all this argument about whether the West or the international community should distance itself from the PRC and find new sources of supply, new markets for its raw materials and the like. The reality is that Xi Jinping's Communist Party, which is a different Communist Party and a very fragile one at the moment, has taken itself out of the global marketplace. So it's not about us cutting off China. It's about the PRC cutting off the rest of the world. The PRC will then be more manageable as far as Xi is concerned. He will continue to spend the vast amount of his money on the internal security apparatus and the People's Liberation Army. And right now, the internal security apparatus gets more money than the People's Liberation Army. So we worry about the growth of the PLA as a competitive or pacing threat to the U.S. defense forces and the like. The reality is that's still not the great threat that Xi sees. He sees not the U.S. as the great threat, but the Chinese people as the great threat. And until he can crack down on them, he's going to be worried. And if they get too restive, and there's every reason that they will, because they've lost their savings, their retirement funds when the property market collapsed, it's probable then that he could do something like mount that attack on Taiwan. We only can hope that the PLA itself will say that's a bridge too far and resist orders to go to war to capture Taiwan.
Reuters is reporting that young people, migrants they're called, are climbing over the fence to escape the Foxconn facility on mainland China. I believe it's in Hebei province, but I'm not certain. It's interior. 200,000 live here in what you'd have to say extreme tight circumstances in dormitories, working for wages for the Apple iPhone and other high-end digital products, but climbing over the fence to escape because rumors or stories of COVID-19 mean they're about to be locked up or kept from going home, crossing the countryside, avoiding checkpoints, trying to get home, walking in many instances, being fed or provided liquid water by villagers who are friendly to them. The image here grows and grows. I just have the Reuters report in these last days. What does that mean for Xi Jinping's domination of the Chinese Communist Party and of the people of China? Is that open defiance by young people who don't know any better? Or is that, in fact, they're voting with their feet, running away from the authority in Beijing, and Beijing now has to answer with what? What have they got to answer with?
Well, the first thing is it's not just young people, and it's not just about the Foxconn facility. It's about people now waking up to the fact that these zero COVID lockdowns are going to deprive them of their liberty and possibly their lives through starvation and the like. And so they're fleeing where they can. Yes, it means the end of a lot of the manufacturing capabilities of, you know, Foxconn for making iPhones and the like. But already that process has started to move out of China, and Apple has started to find other locations in Asia for iPhone manufacture. But so really this is about fear of the Communist Party of China and Xi Jinping. And the Party Congress fooled nobody in the public. They know what this means now. That's why a lot of people have been trying to flee the country if they're wealthy enough and can find ways to bribe their way out of the country. And the others are fleeing back to the rural areas just to avoid suppression. But what we will see is a bloodbath and a starvation drive by Xi Jinping, which may well mirror what we saw from 56 to 61 period under Mao Zedong, when you had anything from 30 to 60 million people dying of starvation and other related illnesses because of the suppression of the population.
Yes, you mentioned that before, and not until this Reuters report of young people fleeing without food, without water. They were given by villagers, we're told, in the region. That's how they managed to get home. Some were not able, and they were picked up and taken to concentration camps, said to be guarded by the COVID. Now, Gregor, you can see this. We can see it in the Reuters report. The U.S. can see this. The whole region can see it. Are they reacting to it? Are they aware that this describes a China that's anarchic, not a dictatorship only, but also an anarchy that is unstable?
Well, it's almost deliberately unstable, as Xi would have it, because he wants to instill fear into the population, remove their ability to flee or to rise against him. And that's going to be done by economic and suppression and the denial of food and water in particular. In the meantime, he's building his domestic suppression capabilities, and he's building his armed forces in a way which are very effective. He's building up his tactical nuclear capabilities. This is much more important as to what the People's Liberation Army is doing compared to the Russians. The Russians are almost, if you like, a classical Cold War approach to nuclear weapons in relative terms compared to China. The PLA has developed a new and growing flexibility to be able to use tactical nuclear weapons against U.S. targets. And what we see with the new U.S. strategic doctrine is that the Biden administration has actually denied the modernization of tactical nuclear forces. The plan for a new supersonic cruise missile with a tactical nuclear warhead has been canceled by the Biden administration, which means that there is no ability, if you like, for the U.S. to adequately deter a PLA first use of tactical nuclear weapons. And that really needs to be revisited urgently by the U.S.
And finally, about Xi Jinping, this civil war, the big civil war, the little civil war, does he have the equipment he needs to fight this? At this point, the evidence of the Foxconn says that he's not anticipated all these disruptions. Your opinion is that he's willing to be as brutal as necessary. That's his skill set?
Well, that's right. He's relying on brute force. He clearly does not have the same logic pattern as one would expect of someone wanting to lead a unified country into prosperity. He is opposed to the prosperity of the Chinese people. He has consistently made moves which have removed the strategic competitiveness of the PRC against the rest of the world. So, yes, he'll be brutal. The question is whether he is up to the task. Certainly he will not hesitate to suppress. The question is whether the population of mainland China can be suppressed after they have tasted an element of freedom and prosperity. What's important to note, however, is that the United States has been winding back its means of communicating with the Chinese people. Certainly the PRC government has been at pains to ensure that the U.S. and other countries cannot get into the Chinese internet. But the reality is that if the Chinese population is to be given any support at all, you first have to be able to reach them with appropriate messaging and an offer of some kind of support. That's not being done very well at this stage because there's no easy way to get to a large percentage of the Chinese population. We do see the U.S. actively engaged in stirring up the whole Uyghur question and the whole East Turkestan independence movement of the Uyghur people. That's very much a movement which is supported by Washington. But we haven't seen a similar attempt to reach the hearts and minds of the Chinese population in the way which 20, 30 years ago, Voice of America and, the various quasi-government radio stations of the U.S. were able to reach them in the past.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the most important election of the new calendar year 2023 in Nigeria next. I'm John Patchen.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.